All right. Council can come forward on our next case. A19-1321, Target Corporation versus the City of Minnetonka. All right. This matter is here for oral argument, as I'm sure council is familiar. Each party here, each side will have 15 minutes for your principal arguments, and council for appellant will have an opportunity for 5 minutes of rebuttal if they wish, following respondent's argument. Feel free to adjust the podium to your comfort level. It goes up and down, and when you begin your arguments, it would be helpful to us for our record if you identify yourselves. So with that, counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Brant Irwin. Last name is E-R-W-I-N. I represent the relator in this matter, the Target Corporation. I'd like to reserve my time for rebuttal, please the court. Thank you. Target brings this appeal because it was arbitrarily denied an off-sale liquor license for its store located at 4848 County Road 101 in Minnetonka. In short, the City of Minnetonka exercised its discretion when it created a policy that provides for five factors that the City Council is required to consider when determining whether or not to issue a liquor license. Within that policy itself is a subset of three factors that are only to be applied in the event a liquor license application would result in the number of liquor stores exceeding what the city has determined to be an appropriate number within the city. As the record shows, those city council members that voted to deny Target's application based their decision on those three inapplicable subset of factors. That is an arbitrary decision. What the city requests is apparently the authority to apply its policy when it works to its advantage and then disregard the policy when it works to its detriment. That type of carte blanche application is not supported by the language of the policy or the applicable law. Because of the arbitrary nature of the denial, Target seeks this court to reverse the decision of the City Council and remand back to the City Council with instructions to approve the license application. The primary issue here isn't discretion. The primary issue is the city's arbitrariness in misapplying its own policy.
So do we have to, we need to interpret that policy, I assume, then, don't we, Council, to determine if it was violated? I don't know that anyone's interpreted it before, but before we can agree with your position on it, don't we have to interpret the policy to see if it supports the arguments you're making?
No, Your Honor, only if it's unambiguous, and we submit to the court that the language itself is clear, and in applying the plain and ordinary meaning that's within not only the five factors and the policy itself, but also the three sub-factors. And you're right, language is important.
Let me ask you then, because, just in terms of the policy itself, I mean, the ordinance number one says the city has broad discretion to decide if, where, and how liquor is sold, and I'll have a question about that, but the policy says, when it's talking about the off-sale license, it says, accordingly, the City Council determines that the 12 off-sale intoxicating liquor licenses existing as of March 22nd are generally adequate. So it seems to me, I don't know that that's saying 12 is our quota. It's saying we got 12 right now, and that seems to be serving the populace. But the next sentence then says, however, the council reserves a right not to issue any license, even if the number falls below 12. And despite that maximum number, the council will consider, but not necessarily approve, additional. And it would seem to me that additional might mean something like an application other than the 12 we have right now, whether it's over 12 or not. So I don't know that the policy, I think it's a poorly written policy, quite frankly. But I'm not so sure it's as clear as, or maybe you can convince me that it's as clear as you've argued, because it sure seems there's a lot of wiggle room in that policy.
Sure, and Your Honor, yeah, I'm not disputing the fact that I think it's a poorly written policy. I agree with you. But what I will say is the manner in which we interpret that specific provision is that, in fact, the total number is 12, and I think the record demonstrates that The way that the city has interpreted its own policy in the past is they deem 10 standalone liquor stores to be sufficient rather than 12. And the way that they've gotten to 12 in the past is they include the 3.2% off sale licenses. So those would be those that can sell malt liquor that's 3.2% alcohol by weight. And the way that they've then interpreted that policy is they've determined in the past that that's the appropriate number for the city. And I think the record bears that out. When you look at the hearing in July 2019, the city council members discussed that maximum number. And the way that they've interpreted or the way that they discuss it within that policy is that is a maximum number. That's a quota. That's an internal quota that they've determined. And when you accept that position that the city, I think, itself has taken in the record, then the only way that you can interpret that next provision that says, despite the maximum number, they'll consider but not approve additional licenses means those that go above and beyond the number 12. And when you apply that then, those three subfactors then have a condition precedent. So in other words, what the policy creates is, and the language of the policy itself is mandatory. It's obligatory. It's not permissive. If you look at the purpose of the policy in 6.1, it says, this policy establishes the standards and criteria that the City Council will apply in its consideration. Not what it may apply, what it might apply, but what it will apply. It then creates this list of five criteria that it's obligated to apply. Those are off-sale licenses, which has the internal quota number, land use and zoning, traffic, parking, and the proximity to youth-oriented facilities and churches.
Mr. Irwin, if we agree with what you're saying and the record shows that they did not consider the policy enumerations as you just did, what happens? Tell me what happens. If we remand this, does it start from the beginning? Do you open it up for I'm just trying to figure out what happens.
Yeah, and that's an excellent question as to what the remedy would be. From our position, the requirement would be to remand back to the City Council with instruction to actually issue the license rather than to have a new proceeding.
How can we do that? Because your own argument is saying that they haven't considered those factors. I see it going back and the City Council says, okay, we didn't dot our I's and cross our T's because we didn't follow to the letter policy 6.1, and then all they do is issue the findings accordingly. Are you saying that they are not allowed to do that if it went back?
Yes, I am, Your Honor. The reason, I want to take two steps back. You're right. Part of the issue here is if we're in essence creating a roadmap. If it goes back and the instruction is to basically start from scratch, it's creating a roadmap. It's not a district court that this is being remanded to. It's an actual party that's involved in this. So what we would be doing then is giving them a roadmap to create a new reason for denial. And I do want to say it's not that the city didn't cross its T's and dot its I's. It did. The record shows that the city actually did analyze the five factors that it was supposed to, and it found that there was no issue. The only discussion, in fact, other than the maximum number of liquor license, was one city council member that described the proximity to schools, churches, and youth-oriented facilities, and she said she didn't see a problem with that. So I think the implicit and explicit result of that is they did analyze those five factors as they were supposed to, and they found that there was no problem. The primary issue here is the basis of denial, and I think I need to split the two things. There's whether or not the denial itself was arbitrary and capricious, and then whether or not, in accordance with the policy, the license was obligated to be issued. And I want to separate those two things. The first and the primary reason we're here on appeal is the arbitrary denial of the license, not necessarily that they would have been obligated to issue the license. That's a second issue. The first is whether or not the denial itself was arbitrary. And when you analyze the five factors that they were obligated to analyze, and then you accept the argument that those 12 is the maximum number, you don't get to the three factors, the three subfactors. And if you review the record, the council members that all spoke about why they were basing their denial on what they were basing it on were those three factors. The specific language, and again, I think it's really important to highlight what the council members actually said. We have Council Member Carter, who determined that the three criteria were not sufficiently met, A, B, or C. We have Council Member Shack, who didn't believe that Target satisfied the three criteria, one of which must be met. Council Member Calvert did not believe that Target meets the threshold for off-sale licenses A, B, and C. Mayor Wearsome based his denial on the three subfactors, finding no distinctive or specialty service, which is subcategory A, and that Target's license would not result in a store being located in a village center not currently served. That's subfactor C. So if you look at the actual basis for denial, it's the three factors that they weren't supposed to apply. That in and of itself is arbitrary.
What about the factor in the letter that they sent, though, that the location was adequately served due to another liquor store being located across the street? How is it arbitrary for them to consider that as a basis for denial?
You're correct. They did. They sent a denial letter after the actual denial at the city council hearing, which outlined five factors for denial. The first three, in essence, mirror A, B, and C, which we've just touched on. The next two, one of them was the concern that Cub Foods, which is located in near proximity to the specific target location, may or may not apply for a license in the future. And the fifth is what Your Honor just identified, that whether or not the, what's the specific language? Whether it's contrary to the city's overall objective of distributing off-sale liquor license for village centers. I'll touch on that one first. Number one, it's specifically derived from subfactor C. If you look at what C says, the concern, one of the analyses for whether or not you can exceed the number of 12 is whether the license is part of a village center not currently served. The purported objective of distributing off-sale liquor licenses throughout village centers has a direct implication of that, number one. Number two, when you look at the actual language of the policy and the fact that it's obligatory and requires them to analyze these five factors, that in and of itself excludes other factors. These are the five that they're required to analyze, not anything outside the scope of that. And if they're going to argue that this is not related to subcategory C, but it is indeed a separate factor, then it's outside the scope of the mandatory criteria. The other reason, to be perfectly honest, is the purported reason isn't supported by the record. The record reflects that the city has disregarded this newly found purported concern multiple times in the past. There was a map that was submitted during the city council hearing in July, which showed, in essence, an outlay of the city of Minnetonka and the surrounding communities, and it showed that the city has not had this concern in the past. You've got a Haskell's and a Total Wine that are less than 1 mile apart. You've got a Lunds and Byerly's directly in between the two of them. You've got a Trader Joe's less than 1 mile down the road, and most critically, you've got Tonka Bottle Shop and the Wine Shop, which are kitty corner from each other. If that was really a legitimate concern, none of those licenses would have been issued.
Yeah, but that's looking back. Maybe isn't it proper for the city to look forward and say, that all may be true, but this isn't in our city's best interest because there's plenty of, there's already that liquor store across the street. How is that arbitrary for the city to do that in its planning function?
And I go back to the language of the policy itself, Your Honor. The language of the policy identifies the five factors that the city is limited to analyzing. Those are the five factors. One of those doesn't include whether or not they've determined that a, and again, I lost the language, that a, it's contrary to the city's overall objective, which we don't know where that objective is, of distributing off-sale liquor licenses through village centers and has the effect of removing the only off-sale liquor store within a specific village center. So again, I would say that the issue with that analysis is that it is not one of the five factors that they're obligated to apply. I do want to talk about Cub Foods as well because that's one of the other factors in the denial letter itself that the city hangs its hat on.
If you can squeeze in the similarly situated argument, I'd like to hear more about that.
Sure. Very briefly, the what I'll call the fourth reason for denial was that the city was concerned that Cub Foods or another unknown entity may apply for a liquor license in the future in the event that they were to issue this license. Again, number one, that's not one of the five factors that's identified in the policy itself. Number two, really, that independently is an arbitrary reason for denial. We've cited to the WASDA decision, which has been cited repeatedly over the course of the years since it was developed, in which a liquor license was denied arbitrarily because it was based on the conduct of a third party. The city attempts to distinguish that case by saying, well, WASDA was really related to the conduct, fitness, or background of individuals who weren't applying for a license. Well, that's what's happening here. In order to obtain a liquor license, Cub Foods would have to submit an application. They'd have to pass the necessary fitness, background, and conduct requirements. They'd have to meet the minimum requirements under the city code, and they'd have to satisfy the obligations under the policy. That's the exact same thing as basing the decision on an independent, unrelated third party who may or may not apply for a license in the future. That in and of itself is arbitrary. And from a practical perspective, there's nothing in the record to even indicate that Cub Foods has sought a license, thought about a license, requested a license.
Common sense, though, if you're a city council member, your job is to take a look at what the city is going to look like. I mean, wouldn't that just be common sense, a part of your responsibility as a council member?
Yes, it is. And if this policy didn't exist, I'd say that would be probably a critical factor in applying whether or not a liquor license should issue. But the fact of the matter in this circumstances is the policy does exist. And the policy identifies the factors that they're to analyze when determining whether or not to issue a liquor license. I do want to briefly, because Your Honor requested a little bit of comment on it, the similarity in licensing with Total Wine. Again, I don't even think that the court needs to get to this issue.
But you're arguing that they're similarly situated, and there seems to be a lot of differences between Total Wine and Target, both in terms of the lapse in the timetable when you renewed Target's application and Total Wine was a couple of years before, went to a different part of the city, addressed the city's concerns. I think that's your weakest argument, to tell you the truth.
And I appreciate Your Honor's position on that. And even if it's the weakest argument, it's one, again, that the court doesn't even have to get to. But I will say that the underlying root facts between Total Wine and Target are actually substantially similar. Target, of course, when it applies for a license because of current state law, can't get a license to sell alcohol within the grocery store itself. So the city's position that Target is a grocery store as opposed to Total Wine doesn't hold any weight. They would have to have a separate entrance with a separate liquor store, just like any other grocery store is required to do. So what you're looking at then is comparing a separate liquor store to a separate liquor store, each of whom satisfy the five elements that the city is required to do. Because if you look at the Total Wine application, the reason that it was issued is because they satisfied those five elements. There's nothing in the record that we've been provided that shows that the city even looked at categories A, B, and C as it relates to Total Wine. Instead, their sole focus was on the five factors. I see that my time's up. Would you like me to finish, or?
I think you've answered the question.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
All right. Owen. Thank you.
All right. You will have your 5 minutes of rebuttal.
Thanks.
Counsel for respondent.
May it please the court and counsel. My name is Jim Thompson, appearing on behalf of the city of Minnetonka. Your Honors, I think it's real important to point out at the beginning here, there's a lot that's not in dispute here. And what's not in dispute is what the law is. The law is that no person has an inherent right to a liquor license, that a city council is vested with broad discretion in determining whether to issue a license, whether that this court's scope of review on such a determination is narrow and should be exercised most cautiously. And finally, a court will only overturn a liquor license decision in the rare case to prevent manifest injustice. And in fact, we can point to one finger, how many times this court has reversed a city council's decision to issue a liquor license, and that's Wadger. That's the only time, and that was because the city considered acts of a previous licensee. The court said that's arbitrary and capricious. The Tamarack Inn case and the ETO case did involve a reversal, but those were renewal liquor license applications. They weren't initial. So why are we here? We're here because Target, not disagreeing with that law, says, yeah, but this is different because you've adopted a policy by which you have limited your discretion. That is not true. First of all, as the court's already pointed out, the code section specifically says a liquor license is a privilege, not a right. Even if a person meets the minimum requirements, the council is not obligated to grant the license. And the city council has broad discretion to decide if, where, and how liquor is sold. And finally, the council may limit the number of licenses. The policy itself says the city reserves the right not to issue any license, even if the number of the licenses falls below 12. The policy does not entitle anyone to a liquor license and does not limit the city council's discretion in any way to deny a liquor license. The policy deals with issuance of liquor licenses. In fact, is that the council has set forth says that we will consider when deciding whether to issue a license.
What are we to make of the argument, Mr. Thompson, that the policy also requires city staff to submit a written report examining each of the criteria at the time of consideration by the city council? And it doesn't appear that was done here to provide the city council with the information that they needed to make this decision, and hence their decision was arbitrary.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully
say that. There's a lot in that question, I agree.
The record does show that the staff submitted a report. All the exhibits that are part of the record, there was a comprehensive staff report.
And is there a report that specifically addresses? I mean, I haven't seen it, and I'll look at it in the record. Maybe my cohorts have, but there is a report, because an argument was made that the city didn't do that. Do you disagree with that?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The administrative record that's been compiled and has a staff report to both city council meetings. Very extensive. Well, I think one is 30 pages. The other one might be 52 pages. I don't have the exact exhibit numbers. I think the
maybe
first...
Maybe what we're equivocating about is whether what you're describing meets the requirements of a written report. And yes, I'm doing... your quotes. I think there's plenty of information there, but I mean, you admittedly didn't like issue a report in that fashion. It was a letter that went to Target.
I understood the question to be a report to the council at the time it was considering the license.
That was my question.
Okay,
yes,
that was my, I misunderstood. Okay.
So the record is full with that. It has all the, it's there. now, in adopting the policy, the council didn't place any restrictions on its ability to deny a license. Arguably, it did place one restriction on its ability to issue a license if the license is the 13th one. And the policy says we reserve the right to do that. We don't have to, but we reserve the right to do that if the applicant can show one of three things. It's a distinctive specialty service, it's part of a village center that's not served, or if it offers as a complementary part of the business. So the council is somewhat restricting their ability in that 13th situation to issue the license.
So this, let me understand your argument, because I asked Mr. Irwin this argument. Are you agreeing that that number 12 is the equivalent of a quota that the city has established?
Yeah, I think quota is too strong of a word. It's a statement, policy that says we have 12, 12 is enough now that it's going down, but we're going to reserve the right to. I think quota is not the right word, because they've given themselves discretion to go higher than that, but only in one of three situations. Council has completely misapplied the proviso statute, okay? The proviso statute says we're going to, if you have provisos, they're going to limit what you just said before. So here, the proviso is modifying, we reserve the right to grant a 13th license if you can meet A, B, or C. Now, if the council were to grant a 13th license and came up with D, some other reason, that didn't meet A, B, or C, now the applicant probably isn't going to object to that, but somebody else could, because they could say if this had the force of an ordinance or a statute, which it doesn't, it's a policy, councils can change their policy. So, and this is not that case. Number one, it's not a 13th license. And number two, the council didn't have to consider these on a 13th license. The logical fallacy in the argument here is that because we included provisos in a situation where there's a 13th license, we can't consider those factors in some other situation. And that's not what the policy says. It just says we're limited to these three if we're faced with a 13th license. Contrary to Target's contention in its reply brief, there's nothing in that policy that says the council is prohibited from considering the three factors unless the application is a 13th license. It's not there. For example, there's nothing in this policy that talks about city council denies a license because the applicant has been found guilty of serving the minors in some other city. There's nothing in this policy that addresses that. There's nothing in this policy or in the city code that specifically says we can deny a license if there's neighborhood opposition. Yet there are court decisions. This is not a case of first impression. This is not a case simply involving a policy, and none of the other courts have done that. In the Pullman decision, the city of Royalton said, three's enough. We've got three. We don't want a fourth. There's nothing in the city code, nothing in any policy in that case that specifically gave the city that authority. It's implicit. It's part of their duties. In Country Liquors, which is a case we've all cited here, the council denied it because of neighborhood opposition. There wasn't anything in the city code. There wasn't any, isn't anything in state law that says a city council can deny a liquor license for just based on neighborhood opposition. We don't need that. There is no city that has that. Now, in their reply brief, I would just like to take a minute to this thing. They cite three cases on pages 5 to 6, talking about Rashankani, Burnett, Curtis Oil. Number one, none of those are liquor license cases, and they all involve situations where the council either failed to consider evidence that was before them, failed to file a recommendation of a board that made a recommendation to them without making any findings of why they were doing that. And in the Curtis Oil case, the council didn't have any findings. We briefly commented, not briefly, we commented this on our brief, land use cases are not relevant to this issue, except for this one purpose. It is the same standard of review. It's a quasi-judicial proceeding that gets reviewed on the record before this court, whether it's land use or liquor license. That's the one thing that they have in common. However, a city council cannot deny a conditional use permit if it meets all the criteria in their code. That's a land use case. City council's discretions in land use case is completely different than the discretion in a liquor license case. So procedurally the same, they get to this court the same way, but the standard is completely different. Briefly commenting on these other licenses that exist in the city, the ones that have been mentioned, the big ones, the Trader Joe's, those are located in the regional center, Ridgedale. I mean, that's different. That's not this case. A regional center, the fact that the city may have already granted licenses to two licensees in a regional center, just simply not relevant to the facts of this case. I'll briefly touch on the other two. I think it's undisputed that there are two other reasons why the council denied this, in addition to the three factors. The Cub Foods, this application has so many dissimilarities to Total Wine, as the court has pointed out. It would not have as many dissimilarities if the city were to have granted this license, and next year Cub Foods across the street says, wait a minute, you did it for them, you got to do it for us. Okay? That's the exact argument that is being made here against the city. You did it for Total Wine, you got to do it for us. Total Wine's not across the street. There are so many dissimilarities. So to say that, for Target to argue in this case, that we can't consider the effect of granting a license here on a potential future case belies the argument they're making in this case. I'll just briefly touch about the council's desire to spread liquor stores out. I don't think it's undisputed. That's a reasonable distinction. There's already one right across the street from here. MGM is located right across the highway. Those reasons by themselves are sufficient. We do not need a code section or a state law that says Minnetonka City Council, you have the ability to deny a license because there's another one across the street. That just is not the law. In conclusion, then, Your Honor, it's in the record. Target is a great corporate citizen. There's no dispute about that. We are dealing with a city council, a city that's very conservative in issuing liquor licenses. In fact, they have an ordinance that says we're only going to do it if we get 5 affirmative votes. That's even tougher than 2/3. Because if you have 6 members at the council at a meeting, you need 5 out of 6 to do it. If you only have 5, you need all 5 to do it. It's even tougher than 2/3. The policy, again, contains no limitation on the council's ability to deny a license. This is the 3rd time Target has applied and has not been successful. So we request that the court affirm the decision. Briefly, although I don't think a remand was anywhere appropriate here. If there is a remand, the remand is not to grant the license. The remand is to direct the council to do whatever this court thinks the council did wrong, not to grant the license. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Your rebuttal, Mr. Irwin?
Thank you, Your Honor. I will be fairly brief. I do want to start with what Mr. Thompson, in essence, ended with. He's right. You don't need a code section or state law to provide the city with the right to deny a license because a potential licensee is across the street. But instead, you have a policy here that precludes that. That's the distinction. Council for the city wants to identify a number of liquor license cases to base his hypotheticals on. You're looking at Country Liquors, you're looking at Pullman, all these cases where, for example, a lot of city residents would come in and complain about the issuance of a liquor license. Those aren't the facts here. Nobody complained about the Target application. Nobody stood up in either the May or the July 2019 hearing and said that they objected to the license at all. The only person that stood up and spoke in each one of those meetings were two people that were in favor of the license. And the primary distinction that didn't exist in any of those cases is a policy that obligated the city to apply five specific factors when analyzing whether or not to issue the license. That's the distinction. The policy exists. The city might not want it to exist here, but it does. Your Honor, you asked whether or not there was a report that was issued by city staff. The record that we have, it's number 8 or number 10 in the record. And what those are is the city reports that were issued prior to the July 22nd, 2019, and then an undated report that was submitted at the time that the actual hearing in July occurred. If you go through that, it identifies what the city council policy is. It lists it. But it doesn't actually analyze the factors. None of them. It goes through. It shows what the other license. I take that back. Not none of them. It does identify the quota number because it identifies how many liquor licenses are actually in the city of Minnetonka. It then goes through a list of each licensee in Minnetonka. It then goes through a discussion on the history of this policy, when it was created, how it was modified. It then goes through and identifies the total wine application in 2017. It doesn't talk about parking, it doesn't talk about traffic, it doesn't talk about land use, and it doesn't talk about proximity to any location. In fact, it doesn't identify, as the city would argue that they have a right to do, A, B, or C. It doesn't go through those. Instead, what the summation is that city staff recommends that the license be issued. Now, the only implication from that, if they actually reviewed those five factors, is that they found that there was no issue with those five factors.
But I understood your principal argument to be, though, counsel, that even without that report, the council still considered the factors in the policy. So what difference does it make if there wasn't a detailed report?
Well, number one, that would, in essence, be a violation of the policy. The policy itself does say that the city staff is obligated to provide that report. Number two, you're right. Even if it doesn't identify A, B, and C in that report, does it distort the argument that's made? No. Why? Because the city was obligated not to analyze those three factors. So even if city staff didn't identify A, B, and C, the city's decision was still arbitrary and capricious because they did analyze those three that they weren't supposed to make. The other point that I'll make is Mr. Thompson's correct. No one disputes what the standard is. The standard is arbitrary and capricious. It is. But it can't be, and that the city has broad discretion to issue these licenses. But it's not unfettered discretion. There has to be a limit. And the limit in the Rostam County case identifies when a decision is actually arbitrary and capricious. Yeah, that's a land use decision. And I agree that the discretion that's given to city councils with land use decisions is different than given to city councils with liquor license matters. But the fact of the matter is the same standard applies. And that case provides a list of four bases upon which a decision is technically arbitrary and capricious. And it is: if it entirely failed to consider an important aspect of the issue, if it offered an explanation that conflicts with the evidence, if it's so implausible that it couldn't be explained as a difference in view or the result of the city's expertise, and most important for our purposes here, it relied on factors not intended by the ordinance. Yep, this is a policy, not an ordinance, but the policy still applies. And their decision relies on factors completely outside and not intended by the ordinance. That's why it was an arbitrary decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Irwin. And thank you, counsel, for both sides here. The matter was well briefed, and your advocacy here has been of assistance to the court in resolving the issues. We'll take the matter under advisement, and we'll issue a decision on the matter within 90 days.
Thank you.
You're welcome.